If you guys want to come on up, the Merlins, if you want to hear the Merlins. So we're going to do sort of a tag teaming kind of thing today where the three of us will work together and they're going to share their story. And, you know, I don't know if you guys know Joe and Jen well. Obviously, you know where they sit. That's their corner. They've been with us since the family Camp Sentinel trip. So when we were all camping, they showed up for the first time, which is fun. And they've been with us ever since. And when they finally met us all, when we all came back the next week, we didn't scare them away, which is good. So Joe has gold in him. I'm convinced of that. And the Holy Spirit can speak through him. And he's going to begin like learning how to take this testimony of his and get it out. And he's like me. He's very shy. And but seriously, like, rather have a conversation one-on-one than, like, a big old public speaking thing, right? So so this is really good exercise, right? It's a stretch, yeah. And then Jen, she just has a great heart. She has one of those get-her-done, jump in there, don't really care if she doesn't know what she's doing. She's going to just make it happen anyways kind of hearts. And, you know, and I really appreciate that as well. So, Joe, you'll start with prayer, and then we'll just kind of dive in.
Thanks. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to share our testimony, to come before your people and just reach out and touch them. Lord, we know that someone here needs to hear this. We just ask the Holy Spirit, loosen their heart, open their ears, and that your word comes through us, Lord. We ask that as we go on, we decrease and you increase.
Yes.
That your spirit just moves through here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you want to hold on to that, then it'll be in your hands. So I left some papers down here that I shouldn't have. But we're calling today a testimony of overcoming. And when you share a story like that, you realize there's a whole lot of humility in a testimony of overcoming. It'd be great to be like, oh, yeah, we're awesome. But we're not. We're all, like, broken and lost and right? We're a mess. And only we really know what's going on up in here, right? And so when we talk about overcoming, it's Jesus overcoming in us, right? It's the Spirit of God that does these things. And we get the beauty of telling the story. And it's really important we know this because the Lord has given us all a story, whatever it looks like, and you're the steward of your own story, right? I do want to throw the verse Revelations 12, 10 to 11, if you have it. You do, it looks like. And this is a story about the end. Hey, Nicole. Hello. Long time no see. It says Revelations here, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren, that's the devil, is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. So it's by his blood, by the word of their testimony, right? The story. And they loved not their lives even unto death. It's so critical that we understand it's through Christ's blood. It's not through a 12-step program, and it's not through trying harder, right? It's by receiving the redemptive work. But then it's working out that story and telling it and perfecting it and getting it to where it becomes an actual piece of who we are. And then it's this other piece, which is we don't love ourselves. We don't love, like, you know what I mean by it. It's okay to love yourself. We don't hold on to the things of this life and try to protect them and hold them and hide them. And, oh, I've got this little problem, this addiction, this craving, this thing in my life, this tendency. But I'm not going to let anybody know because, you know, I love my little safety too much. And then we get stuck and we can't get free, right? All right, cool. So we'll be sharing the story, and it has to do with deliverance and inner healing. So I don't want you to think, if, let's say, you have no context for what that is, that this doesn't have anything to do with you. And I don't want you to think that maybe you've gone through it, and so therefore it has nothing to do with you. It does, right? Inner healing is nothing more than allowing the Lord to come into a moment of your life that's been hurt, wounded, and allow him to minister to that thing and heal it, right? Happens from childhood all the way on through life. Matter of fact, you can go through inner healing and be hurt tomorrow and back in, right? Okay. And then also deliverance. That's just being delivered from, saved from weights and snares and demonic influence that ensnares all of us, right? If you feel like you have a demonic influence of some kind in your life that doesn't make you any worse off than anybody else, it doesn't mean you did something and everybody else is perfect and you're the one, right? We all like to think of ourselves, but we're not that special. The enemy hates us all. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And there are things that get onto us from even generations in the past, It's not your fault, but it is your problem. And you have to choose to let it go and engage it, right? We call them strongholds, and we get free of those things. I have one more verse, and then I'm going to start asking you questions and things, which is cool. But Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up." Did you notice he separated this into two categories? There's weight and then there's a sin. So they're not the same. That you can have weight on your life that isn't actually sin, or you can have sin that's a weight. And so learning to understand, where is God saying, today's a new day, and today you're losing some weight. Yeah. Right? And I'm not just talking about the tire, man. Although he might tell me that soon. But he's also talking about weight in our life, right? Things that we don't even know that we don't know. And they're on our heart. And then suddenly he illuminates it. And he says, today we're working on dark corner number 5. Right? And that's where we can say, not today. Keep that closet closed, Jesus. You can have the rest of my house, but don't touch that closet. Or we can say, it's all you. Yeah? Awesome. So we're going to apply the testimonies in our life that you hear today. You're going to apply testimonies that you hear as we spend time with each other. You're going to apply your own testimony. It breaks chains when you realize how good God is, how he's not respecting another person over you. He'll do what he's done for someone, he'll do for you, right? It's all about the blood of Jesus. We're going to hear a lot about that today, right? It's all about loving not our lives to protect and keep it all to ourselves and stay in isolation and secret, right? Yeah, awesome. Okay, so Joe, why don't you start telling us a little bit about your background?
All right. So I come from a family of polar opposites. On my father's side, we openly sin. Most of us are more comfortable in, you know, trap houses and prison cells than in church pews. On my mother's side, we were devout Catholics. As long as we went to church, confession, we could still sin, but everything was forgiven if we did those things. Needless to say, I didn't know Jesus in either of these environments. So fast forward many years, many addictions. I'm 16 years old. I find myself in jail, facing a 40-year sentence, and I prayed for the first time in a long time. But my prayer was selfish. It wasn't to glorify God or glorify Jesus, but just get me out of this, because 40 years is a long time. I'd still be in there. So I got out, got out of jail, was on house arrest for just under a year, waiting for my trial, and went back to partying and doing drugs, and forgot all about my prayer, just went back to worldly living. Got my trial, charges were dropped, and then now I'm 17, out of high school, can't go back as a freshman because that's embarrassing. Not really knowing what to do, I decided to go to Job Corps, which, if you don't know what that is, it's basically trade school for screw-ups and delinquents. Decided to get clean in that time, too. So my sobriety lasted probably about 5 minutes after the admission drug test was passed. Found some pills, went back to doing drugs, living worldly. I was hanging out with a bunch of Wiccans and Satanists and just allowing massive amount of demonic spirits in my life. That kind of failed. Came home, fast forward, I'm clean now, married, have a 4-year-old daughter. I'm starting to realize that my kid doesn't know anything about God. She doesn't know about Jesus, so I decide, we'll fix this. I'll get a Bible, I'll start reading stories. So that's going good for a little bit. At the same time, I'm almost obsessively arguing politics online and keep getting called a Christian. So I'm like, not denying Christ, but after a while of this, I decided, you know, we'll check out a church. I keep being accused of being a Christian. Let's see what Jesus is about. So Google churches in Nashua. I see lights at one, and I'm like, I like those lights. It's a cool stage. We're going to go there on Sunday. And yep, that's my story. That's how I came to Christ.
It's awesome.
We go to church, and the sermon was just directed right at us. It was every struggle that we were going through in our marriage. And it's like the pastor of God was speaking through the pastor to us. So we continued to go, and that went on. So I think that's where we need to break.
Okay, yeah, sounds great. Do you need a seat? Are you okay? Okay. And then, how about you tell us about your background?
Okay. So, I've grown up Catholic, Christian my whole life, in church my whole life. You know, my family was very good at hiding all of the craziness. My family struggled, my parents struggled with lots of addictions, you know, sexual abuse and just anything under the sun. And my mom had a lot of mental issues, which kind of went over to like how we were raised. She loved attention for negative reasons. So she would do anything to get attention. If she had to pick us up from school or something, if we were sick, she'd love it. But she'd be like, on the whole ride, be like, you better be sick or I'll make you sick, you know, because she wanted the next part of being sick, you know, telling everybody, you know, there's something wrong with us or whatever. You know, she'd answer the phone as if there was something wrong with her. She'd be totally fine. And we'd get on the phone after and they'd be like, what's wrong with your mom? And we're like, nothing, she's fine. And be like, you know, as a kid, you're like, she's the adult. So they, everybody looked at you like you were the liar. So because of all that, and you know, she would go switch doctor to doctor. She'd harm herself purposely. She would get needless surgeries, just for attention. So, because there was a significant age difference between myself and my younger siblings, I became their caretaker. And there wasn't anything left for us, you know? We just went about our day. I never felt like there was love there, acceptance there. You know, she would scream in our faces, you're worthless, like, useless, whatever it was. I just never felt love from her. And that was hard because, you know, who do you get your identity from? It's your parents, essentially. So growing up in that environment was really tough. And, you know, I always thought, like, why would you have a kid? Like, you don't like us. Why would you have us? You know, like, why even do it? Just don't do it. So my whole thing growing up is like, I'm going to show her, you know, I'm going to have a family. I'm going to do it the right way. I'm gonna marry the right guy and I'm going to have kids and I'm going to prove her wrong. Okay. Well, that fails. You know, I did get married, I did have a kid, all that, I checked all those boxes. I went to church on and off, you know, out of high school and, you know, but I never gave God everything and I never let him rule over every situation. Like, yeah, I went to him when I was like needed something, something was wrong, you know, you go to God, but I never like put him first in every situation. So what happens, you know? Things fail, marriages fail, and, you know, we went through a lot of tough times, and I can't even honestly say if God wasn't with us, you know, we would be here today. Everybody's so quick to get divorced these days that it's just the easier choice, you know? And it's funny to me that we went to church because of Joe, after you've heard what he said, you know, because I was so used to being in church and, you know, he's used to having a criminal background. So to me, it's, you know, it's funny that he forced us here, you know, to where we are today.
That's awesome, huh? Love the opposites, right? Oh, you can hold that. I'm sorry. I'm trying to take it. Yeah, you can. You think that was good? Wait till the next one. So then we'll go to the next piece, and that is, and Jen, I know this is a difficult kind of thing to answer because I would say, can you tell me about your early years with Christ? And I know that you mentioned you're not even sure you had early years, even though you had early years in church.
Right.
You're not sure you had Christ in that, right?
Right.
So I'll skip that. But Joe, why don't you start with, tell us about your, you know, early walk with Christ.
All right. Yeah, so we started going to this church. I grew up Catholic, and we went to a church non-denominational like this. So it was complete mind trip to see people raising hands and screaming Jesus' name, but I started liking it more. I committed myself. I'm going to read the Bible in its entirety, and if I still agree with that at the end, I'm going to give my life to Jesus. So God had different plans because while this was going on, I found a new addiction, not in the form of drugs, that quickly landed me in a jail cell again. So I'm in National Police Department basement in a jail cell again, and I earnestly pray to God. I repent in the jail cell. It was funny, both times in the jail cell I turned to prayer, but I found Jesus that time. And I got out, and it's just a couple weeks later, I was baptized. And I'm an addict, so I dove into Christianity. I started reading the Bible like 10 chapters, sometimes 20 chapters a day.
He's addicted to Jesus.
Yes, a good addiction this time. But yeah, I went hard with it, started serving in the church. I was ushering, other ministries, mentoring people. But I was still kind of playing one foot in, one foot out. Then we had a new pastor in the church. COVID hit around the same time, so we were isolated. And once the church family was removed, we started seeing red flags. A false message was being preached. I called the pastor out on it. And he lied to me right to my face. I knew he was lying, so we left the church. A couple of our friends from the church left with us, and we started a home church. So that was kind of bad in a way, because I started getting away from God, living for my idols, lust, pride, anger, all that was creeping into my life and pulling me away. But at the same time, I have an identity in Christ, so I had to play that side of it. So inside, I'm living worldly again, and outside, I'm this good Christian. So churches started opening up. We start church shopping. We're going to go 1 week to Amherst Christian Community, but their time that they start just disappeared off the website. I think that was Jesus, but we looked up River. We came here, and like you said in the beginning, you all were at camp, and first person we met was Marguerite. She said, like, hey, how are you? And then started talking deliverance. And we were like,
no, that doesn't sound like her at all.
So,
hi, what's your name? What are your demons?
Yeah, yeah, so, well, I needed it, so. But yeah, you know, that was weird, because we've never heard of deliverance in America. We thought it was reserved for third world countries, and it's pretty much it. Like, Americans don't have demons. But, you know, we decided to stay because we liked the openness of the church. We liked the format of the church. We came back the next week when you all were here, and we really liked it. So, coming ever since, but deliverance was always in the back of my head. It was always something like, you got to do this. Like, you're living in sin, and you're claiming to be a Christian, but you're not following Christ. And then God, like he does, just pulled all my secret sin to the surface. And all that was left was like, hey, you going to go get delivered now? Like, I've pulled it. I've exposed everything. Go do this.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, I made the appointment and had inner healing coming up.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. There's nothing worse than living in Christ but being stuck in a sin. I would say it's worse. I would rather be unsaved or completely saved, but that middle, ugly, I'm trapped. There's guilt, there's shame, there's secrecy, there's hiding, yeah. There's the fear. I hope my loved ones don't find out, or right, or whatever, the police, whatever, whatever your problem is. And, you know, it just, yeah.
Oh, is it my turn?
Yes, please. So tell us about your early walk with Christ.
Oh, I thought we skipped that part.
No, I just said, oh. I know it puts you in a weird spot.
Oh, yeah, well, because.
But hey.
Here we are.
This is about the stretch.
Yeah.
Limber up.
Yeah, I didn't know how to answer that question because, you know, when you go to church your whole life, you know, when do you say, like, I've given my life over to God? You know, you're like, I've always been there, you know, whatever. And it's funny because people at our last church had said, we had like a little Bible group, and they always said to Joe, I'm so jealous of you. And they're like, why? He's like, do you know what I've done? And, you know, and they're like, well, you're like a new Christian. It's exciting. Like, I wish I remember that time, you know, that time of coming to Christ, like all the bad stuff before. Like, I went to church my whole life. Like, what did I do? You know, I took too many scoops of dinner or something. You know what I mean? Like, I was a little selfish. You know, it's not like this big revelation. So they always like said to him, you know, I wish I had that feeling. And so, you know, I was like, Marguerite asked me when we did inner healing, like, you know, what's your testimony or whatever? And I just told her, like, all my stuff, like, what happened to me in my life? She's like, that's your testimony. That's my testimony.
I don't know, like, I'm here. Is that a testimony? You know, it's like, you know, you saw it within yourself. Like, I felt a little offended, like, you know, like, how am I supposed to answer that? You know, like, what did I do? I'm like, oh, when I got baptized, I guess. I don't know. And so, you know, we'll go on a little bit further with this whole thing once we talk about the process. But, you know, I don't think, at that time, it made me kind of look within myself, like, have I ever really done this? Like, have I really ever given everything over? Like, is there a time where I'm like, you know, God, what should I do in this situation? Or, you know, let you lead me in this. It's like, no, I'll figure it out myself. And then at the end, when it didn't work, I'll ask God to help me. You know, that's my normal route because I can handle it. But clearly that's not a good plan. But anyways, yeah, that's basically my early walk.
Yeah, no, I hear you. So then we've established a problem, and we've established where Christ fit in all the pictures, but how exactly did God enter into the brokenness?
All right, yeah, so we did the inner healing. I did the inner healing, and I was looking forward to it, kind of see what the process was all about. We got there, and, you know, me, Marguerite, and Alex, we talked. And come to find out, I had some generational curses in my family of regret. And explained a lot because I'm pretty regret most of my life. And so they gave me some prayers to work on throughout the week. And it was a hard week going into deliverance. It was like around every corner there was just an attack waiting. And I had some prayers, though. I stayed strong, prayed, got closer to God. And then deliverance came. And I just remember sitting in church like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go here. I don't want to face this. Just get me out of it.
That's a thing. It's a real thing.
Yeah. I can't make any excuse, though. And I'm the type of person, once I commit to something, I do it. So go in the room for deliverance, and it was nothing like I thought it was. I thought it was going to be a scene out of The Exorcist. Like, my head's turning around. I'm crawling on the walls, puking pea soup. The worst of it, my hand shook a little bit. And my voice deepened. But it was crazy. So we did a whole deliverance thing. Turns out I got a strong demon that's been in my family 20 generations. And he just would wreck me. And, you know, he had a whole legion under him. And they would keep me from my Bible study, make me think that God hated me. And they would just tear my world up and lead me to sin. And that was their job, was to keep me away from God. So then it comes time, they go up to court, and they have to reveal what God says about me. And God basically is like, I love you. You're mine. You belong to me. You're going to follow me. And he gives me a Bible verse, Matthew 1:9. Now, if you've ever been in your Bible, Matthew 1:9 is a genealogy. It's Uzziah begot Jotham, Jotham begot Ahaz, Ahaz begot Hezekiah. And I'm, you know, even Alex is like, that's a weird verse. I'm like, 33,000 verses, I get a genealogy, but I kind of explained it away to myself that every time I do my Bible study, I skip genealogy. I've never read Chronicles 1 through 11 because it's a bunch of names I can't pronounce, so why put myself through that? So I'm like, maybe that's what God's telling me, you know, don't skip stuff, read his word, it's in there for a reason. That answer wasn't really enough for me, so I'm like, well, I'm going to dig into it when I get home. Come to find out, Uzziah is 20 generations removed from Abraham. And God was telling me, this demon's been in you for 20 generations. I'm removing it. Like, you have that chance to serve me. You have that chance to follow me now. Like, there's nothing holding you back.
And so if anybody's ever experienced this, the Lord will often talk in code then in a way that only you'll understand. And he can do that either through a prophetic, so someone else can share something that they believe God is saying, or through the word. And that thing opens up a whole different story to you, and everybody else sees it as like, it doesn't make that kind of sense to me, right? And so the Lord was not only saying he loves you, but he's speaking in code, which is daddy-son language. It's not, you know? Yeah. Yeah, so cool. So how exactly did God enter into your brokenness?
Okay, so Joe was in for this deliverance thing, which I was like all about him going.
Of course.
Because obviously he is the one that's the problem. You heard his testimony.
I didn't do anything wrong. So let's wait for him to do it. You know, like, I'm interested. Let's see how you go through this, and then we'll see if I'm going to do it. So he goes, immediate change when he came home. I could even see, like, a different light about him. Like, not that the, you don't know the difference of somebody till you see them in a, like, a different way. You know when you go away from your kids for a long time and you see them, like, oh, my gosh, you look so different. You're so grown. It was like he came home, and I was like, what's different? Like, I could just see it. I could visibly see a difference. I was like, okay, that's good. God's got this now. Like, everything's going to be good now because he did this. You know, everything will be fixed. And I sat with her for a while, and I kept saying, you're going to do it. You're going to do it. And I was like, I'll do it eventually. So then his mom decided to do it. And I was like, wait a second. She's like the strongest person I know. She's my rock. You know, if she's going to do it. Yeah, there's mom over there.
Let's flex.
Thank God for her. I got to give her a shout out for a minute, because thank God for her. He gave me her when I didn't have, you know, I didn't have that. Amen. Yeah. Amen. I showed up at her house the other day, and I was like, and my daughter goes, neither of us ate breakfast. And she was like, what do you want me to make you? I'm like, I'm almost 40. I have a mom, you know? Yeah, God gave me her. So she's like, I'm going to do this. I'm like, this woman is like rocks. Like, I've heard this whole story. I've heard his story. I've heard all the stories. And I'm like, how she's going to do this? Like, all right. So she went through it, and then, you know, she told us, and I was so excited to hear what she had to say after it was over. And I was like, all right, God, she did it. I got to do it. So I went. And, you know, in the back of my head, I knew I had to do it the whole time, but at the same time, there was a lot of things that I kind of didn't want to come out that I thought maybe had happened, or things, you know, and I was like, struggled with it for a while. So in deliverance, it actually was revealed to me that I had been molested as a child, and I kind of knew that, but it was revealed to me. And just, you know, things with my mom and the unforgiveness that remained there, you know, like, I'm an adult, I don't need her, you know, like, we have a relationship barely, you know, we talk, it's fine, you know, I've distanced myself from her. But I didn't heal, you know? And that's a big part. You don't realize, like, how those things play into your life every day, in the way that you parent, the way that you exist, the way that you feel about yourself. You know that song we sang, I am who you say I am, you know? What was said about me when I was a kid? I thought I was not even worthy to be here, you know? So there was a generational curse in my family of witchcraft, just a silly thing I did when I was a kid, and I just didn't really think about it, and my daughter did the same silly thing, not knowing that I had done it, and she was in such fear. There was a bathroom mirror at her school. She would not go into that bathroom because she had such a fear of that room because they'd said a stupid thing in the mirror. And I did deliverance, and like when the very next day, she said, "Mom, I went into that bathroom, and I went to the bathroom, and I wasn't afraid." And she was like, "Jesus was with me. I felt him. I felt him there." Yeah. Like as a parent, you know, you don't want to screw up your kids, you know, and you don't even realize something that came through you went down to them, and then. They're dealing with this, and then when they're free of it, you know, there's nothing like it. God told me, though, you know, that I was worthy, that I was wanted in his kingdom, that I was beautiful, and that he loved me. And it didn't matter, like, who on earth said they wanted me, or they, you know, they loved me, or anything. It didn't matter. It only mattered that he did. And that was my identity, you know, in Christ. I am who he says I am.
Awesome. That's so cool. Yeah. Love it. Did you think that she looked different? Like she said you look different?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. She was glowing and a lot easier to talk to. We were fighting less. Like there's a lot of forgiveness that was forgiven. Oh, yeah, so yeah. It definitely helped our marriage.
Some let me just show you what marriage is really like. Let me talk over him. No, I forgot to mention that there's a lot of feelings of hatred and, you know, resentment that I held towards him that, you know, I thought I forgave those things as they came up. But I really wasn't free of them until I went through deliverance, because now, you know, now we've been putting a solid effort into even the way that we communicate. It's just like a whole different, it's a whole different thing. And we can see the attacks coming, you know, from a mile away, you know, and we're taking the right steps to I mean, we still have those little blow-up moments, but it's like how we come back from them is a lot different. I could go for days not talking to him. That was fine by me, you know, and he just wanted to make it up. But now we really think about it, and we come back, and we're, you know, more of a team. So yeah.
Hey, you got the mic, so tell us about the first time you saw your mom.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So this was unique for me because, you know, I'm 38, so it's like, the first time I saw her after deliverance, I was like, I just want to hug her so bad. And so I did, and I hugged her, and I told her I loved her, and I like really meant it, and like I could feel that she felt it. She actually cried. It was a hug from her before used to send shivers down my spine. Joe knows, he can tell you. You know, I didn't have to live with that anymore, you know? I mean, I'm not saying that everything's perfect and we have this great relationship, but even to a few days ago, she called me. We talked on the phone for 45 minutes. I could not imagine talking on the phone with her for 45 minutes. You know, and there's a lot of people, I envied that mother-daughter relationship because I didn't have it, you know, growing up. And now that it's just, there's nothing there. Like, there's nothing to hold against her. There's just not, like, God has given me so much peace about that situation and how I look at her and how I deal with her and how I just even relate to her. Or, like, I don't, when the phone's ringing and we all have caller ID, I don't go, oh, I got to pick up that phone. You know, it's just like, oh, you know, and I pick it up. And it's a genuine feeling in my heart now.
That's so cool. Yeah, forgiveness is such a cool process to once you walk through it, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Joe, why don't you tell us what changed in your life, you know, as a result of God coming into that broken place?
So the biggest change was prayer and knowing the authority that I have in his name, the authority that God has given to us. Even just last week, I was dropping my daughter off at school, and I listened to K-Love while I'm driving because I can't do secular radio. It just brings me farther away from God. So we're listening, it's nothing but static. So she's like, well, Dad, what do we do? And I'm like, well, let's pray on it. So she starts praying. I'm like, no, you got to pray out loud. Like, this could be a spiritual attack. Like, you need to let them know, like, Jesus' name is here. Like, Jesus runs this truck. So I start showing her. We just lay hands on the radio, and we just start saying, Jesus' name, like, your word's going to come through this radio. And she started noticing every time we said in Jesus' name, the static would clear up and a word would come out. So then, but static would come right back. I'm like, all right, well, Lord, like, you're kind of making me look bad. I'm trying to teach you how you can show up in these moments. And he's like, teacher. So I keep a Bible in my truck, and we get to the school line, and I just start reading Psalms 23. And it's like, you got to understand that you calling Jesus, if he's going to show up to clear up a radio, like, he's going to show up when the enemy's all around us. And we just call on his name, and he's there. Because, I mean, again, it's a radio. Who cares? But, you know, when you're under attack from the devil, like, you can guarantee he's going to show up, and he's going to show up big. So that was probably a big change. Another one, I'm not a touchy-feely person. Right after I was delivered, the first thing I asked Marguerite and Alex was for a hug. And, I mean, if you know me, I barely hug my own mother. So like, that was just a huge weight lifted off. So I'm more open to process through my feelings and stuff, I suppose.
I was like, you did what? Like, you hugged them? You don't hug anybody.
That's awesome.
He hugs me. He hugs Alexa, but you don't hug anybody else. Yeah. He's making up for it.
Yeah, I got a lot of years.
Don't ask him for a hug afterwards, though.
He'll be by the door. Everybody can hug him.
Free hugs.
What else? Because I know you had some more things that you told me that like were changing at home. How about the way you deal with Jen?
Oh yeah, so we're more open now to bring God into our marriage. We pray together every night out loud. We also will stop in the middle of fighting and we'll invite God into that fight. And he's kind of our mediator, and that a lot of times by the time we finish praying, we're just not fighting anymore. So that's probably the biggest change at home, is just inviting God into our marriage, into our relationship, where before it's kind of, all right, well, we do Jesus separately and like we'll just be married. But no, it's where a reflection of him and his church, so he needs to be in our marriage. He needs to be a part of us.
That is awesome. Very cool. And no more secrets and no more hiding and...
Yeah.
Joe's like, we went out of order, so now I can't.
Yeah, and I can't wing it this much.
I'm sorry.
No, we're...
Wait, Jen was supposed to go, and then I was supposed to go, and then...
Right, I'm sorry. I broke the order, but when the mic got passed, I was like, we're going. This is going down. We're doing it. So, Marguerite, you had something?
He said something. Could we... Work, too. So can you elaborate on...
Yeah, work.
Oh, yeah, I want to kill my coworkers like half amount of time. Like, I work in, I'm the only saved person. And on top of that, they hate Christians. Like, they're constantly, anytime, you know, somebody comes in with, like, Caleb or Chris, say, oh, stupid Christians. And, you know, I just constantly hear God's name taken out of context. And, well, I'm better at work. Like, I'm praying more at work. When I feel that attack coming, it's like, all right, well, I need to pray. I need to pray the cross of Jesus here, because my other option is taking him out in the parking lot, and I'm not trying to go back to jail. So it's definitely, I'm inviting Jesus into my workplace, and it's changing as a result. I'm not nearly as, blood pressure's coming down, anxiety's coming down.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. So you're seeing it in health.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's so cool. Can I share another scripture?
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
Just hang on to the mic just in case. This is now going off script, I know, but you know.
We're okay.
This is part of the stretch too. So Hebrews 12, verse 11 through 17. This is the part where you were kind of saying, well, I didn't want to actually go, but I made myself do it. Mm. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. Work at living at peace with everyone and work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. And I just saw that as like one of those things where we all this is now all of us, right? And I don't care if you've done all the Christian toys, right? You know, you've done your deliverance and your inner healing and you've been to Sunday school and you know, checked all the boxes, right? There's still a consistent waking up with the knowledge that we have to look after each other and we have to become more like Christ. There's always the pursuit. You know what I mean? It's not fun all the time, but we love the result of that, okay? If you've ever tried to do something like that, maybe you've gone to a counselor, maybe you've told some painful truth to a pastor, maybe you've gone through a deliverance, maybe you've done, you know, like there's all these different styles, and you felt either disappointed, betrayed, maybe that pastor just spread your junk or lied about it, or, you know, I hear so many horror stories, and I talk to so many people who are nervous about becoming transparent with each other because they're afraid, what will this person do with my information, right? I mean, we're all afraid of big tech. What are they doing with our information, right? And I'm about to just look someone in the eye and tell them my most personal, painful struggles, right? Or the deepest wounds of my life. And I'm just going to expect that God, like, really is going to show up in the moment and do something, like, miraculous. Yeah. Yeah. The word says that as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with God and with man, right? And so the enemy is going to stop every chance he can at us becoming, walking in fellowship with God and with man and being straight and transparent and walking in light. Those are all the enemy. That's the devil's playground, right? And so he doesn't want us there. My agenda for having these guys come and share their testimony, when I heard their testimony, I was like, you got to share this, was to encourage this concept, okay? It's not a commercial to get you to sign up for a deliverance course, although please take advantage of that and talk to Marguerite now. You know, they're standing by. and we'll throw in the forks and the knives if you act now. But there's this other thing, and it's I want it to become so natural with each other that we can share our deepest pain, our deepest junk, our best victories. We can just put it out there right in front of everybody. We can, you know, he invited family. Like, we can just be, right, without having to hide, without having to be the perfect church, without, right? And yet love each other enough to not leave each other in that place of brokenness to where we get used to it and be like, oh, that's his problem. He's always like that. Just leave him alone. No, don't leave him alone. And don't tell him to leave you alone, right? Let's sharpen each other, and right? Push each other. And that's where we were talking about this. You know, there is a point where it was too late for repentance, even though he begged with bitter tears. And I don't want to ever miss out on the window of repentance, right? Repentance is a gift. And sometimes we just don't want to take that because it's painful, and it's like, I'll repent later. I enjoy this too much. And there's got to be a moment where you say, Holy Spirit, I don't want to do this, but I need you to convict. And the Holy Spirit will be faithful to convict, I promise you, as you begin to ask, right? Yes. Did you want to add something? Having set up what I just said, did that ring any bells and say, yeah, I have to share?
I didn't get to share my verse, which was Luke 18:2. Which is the parable of the unjust judge.
Yes.
And so, you know, if you know that parable, the woman keeps going to the judge and saying, like, I've been wronged. And he's just, like, ignoring her. And finally, you know, he's like, okay. But God's like, I will avenge those whose prayers come day and night and who seek me. And, you know, I will avenge those people. So, you know, finding out certain information or, you know, certain things people said to me, like, you know, after I told them what came out of my deliverance, I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, why? Like, it's all gone. It's all forgiven. I don't have any of those feelings anymore. They came and went so quickly. You know, I don't harbor any hurt feelings against anyone. I'm just free from it. And there's just such a sense of freedom in doing that process that you wouldn't even understand, and things that you don't even know that affect you, like people that I brought up and like during that, and I was like, why do I gotta forgive that person? Like, why do I put the cross of Jesus between me and them? Like, I like them, you know. But there's things that you don't even realize that are holding you back from living your daily life and walking with Christ in complete freedom. So I would just say, you know, people that are struggling with that or anything really, especially, you know, unforgiveness and just feeling unsettled, that, you know, I got a lot from this, things that I wasn't even expecting. So it's not a miracle drug. And also, like, I wish I could do it, like, every week, because, like, I feel like stuff comes up and, like, I would do deliverance every week if that was a thing. You know, but they don't have the time for that, so I'll let you guys have some time. But yeah.
Well, it's true that we do equip you guys with tools, verses and scriptures and prayers and models, basically.
Yeah. So yeah. I know the things to do now.
So yeah. And we're willing to come alongside you anytime. So never say they're too busy or whatever. But.
I know. I'm a little needy.
That's awesome. So you'll feel, I'm sure, qualified, if I could use that term, to, if you meet somebody who's suffering from an addiction or some kind of brokenness, to just begin to share your story and let them know, like, that there's hope on the other side of that.
Yeah, that was actually a ministry I'm going to be trying to get started, was just one-on-one mentorship. We share openness. You can come at me with whatever you're dealing with, whatever struggle. Trust me, you're not going to shock me. I've been to jail. I've been on drugs. Like, there's nothing that you can do that's gonna be So yeah, my number is gonna be made available, my contact information, and I just feel this is where God's leading me to work with people that are addicted, to work with people that are struggling. Like Paul said, I'm chief sinner, and I think I could take that title. I've done a lot of crap, and I can help you through whatever you're going with.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah, amen. I love it. I do. So three things that we want to pray about, and maybe you guys can help us pray through it. One, thank you for, you can actually see him on the screen there. That's our cheater right there, right? But God, thank you that you're giving us close personal relationship with you. And we want nothing to stand in the way of that personal, intimate relationship, right? Just God, laser focus, whatever you want. The super spiritual way of saying that comes out of Psalms 139. Search me and know me, right? See if there's any way within me which offends you and lead me in the way everlasting. Like, I want the eyes of God, the finger of God searching, right? And so that's the first part of our prayer this morning. The second part of our prayer is build my testimony as a blessing to others and a weapon to free others. And we're all going to agree, not just for them, but for us, right? And then the third thing we're going to pray is help me to walk in the humility of openness. I want to participate in your body, which watches over, challenges, and builds others up in the love of Christ. Amen. We're not going to church. We are the church. Amen. Would you be comfortable to start us out with that?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Can I share one thing real quick?
Sure.
Sorry. Right. Taking over. Earlier I had mentioned that Marguerite asked me, like, what was my testimony? And then, you know, I was told her my story. But I think this is my testimony. You know, obviously I'm giving a testimony. But, you know, God actually revealed to me during that time, he spoke directly to me and he said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you had to go through all this, but this was for your testimony. So, you know, that's what it is. And I thank God for these two because they really, you know, they're not getting paid for this. It's not for that. It's just for others to feel that freedom in Christ. And they're doing it out of the kindness of their heart and the call to the ministry. I'd love to hear everybody's testimony, you know, could all be free together.
Do you want to just take a bullet or?
Just start off. And then Jen, if you want to take one or whatever, you know, this is so cool. I'm just going to get to have you guys lead in a prayer.
Father, thank you for calling us into your kingdom, for calling us your sons and daughters. Lord, we thank you for this church, a place where we can come and worship your name and just get on with fellowship and be around others who believe what we believe. Lord, we ask that you move through us, that you bring us deeper into you, that you give us opportunities to share our testimony, to be open and encouraging and to encourage others. Lord, we ask that you build our testimonies, make us more comfortable with sharing it so that we can reach people and ultimately turn them to your kingdom. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, thank you for this opportunity. We know that you didn't bring us this far just to leave us, that you have brought us here for such a time. That everything was meant to be. We were supposed to give this testimony a long time ago, and for reasons beyond our circumstances beyond whatever, we were not able to do it, Lord, and you brought us here today. As I look around, there's so many faces here today, Lord, so many people that you wanted in this room today, Lord, to touch, to reach, to be there for, to offer this to them, to know that they could do just the same thing, Lord, that you've never left them, that you're always with them. You'll come alongside them, Lord, and even in the moments where they think they can't see you or feel you or hear you, Lord, you're there. They can know this freedom too. Lord, just be with us going forward in our days, Lord. If deliverance is meant for them, Lord, that you speak to their heart, that you work on their soul, have them put down their own pride, Lord, to know to walk with you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Yeah. And God, I just ask that you'll allow 2022 to be a year where weights and snares and hang-ups just fall off us, your body, that Lord, you would take us through whatever process where you search us and you know us and you know the deepest parts of us. And God, where we are okay to be transparent and we're okay to find resources, God, whether we're going through an inner healing session or deliverance or just grabbing a friend who's offered to make themselves available, God, that we would be faithful to do those steps. And Lord, that you would be God of those steps, that you would protect us as we do that, keep us from, Lord, sharing with inappropriate or untrustworthy people, but oh God, on the same side, help us to find the trustworthy ones, the safe ones, the faith-filled ones, the people who know the power of the name of Jesus. And Lord, let us see breakthrough this year like we have never seen before. We ask God that you'll bring in broken and hurting people, and God, you will take the broken and the hurting, and you will turn them into the doctors and the nurses of tomorrow, we pray. We're just so thankful that you're a God who turns everything upside down on its head, and brokenness suddenly becomes victory, and victory becomes healing for others, God. So, Lord, use us. Our hands are open for that. Our hearts are open. We can't do it ourselves, but you can do it through us. That's who you are. Lord, we love you. We love you so much. Thank you for this time, and thank you for my brothers and sisters who are here that I love. Bless them, God, this week in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Can we give them a hand one more time for sharing? We're kind of late, but like 2 minutes or less. Do you have anything you want to say about the thing or the ministry or how people can get a hold of you? Or do we just want to say you're here?
We're right here.
Okay.
We're right here.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right, guys, you are dismissed. Feel free to grab your kids and the sugar and take them home. You did awesome. Really, thank you. Yeah. Let me give you